Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program. And guess what? It's raining. What else is new around here, huh? Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Corporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us, a community built on care. PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Well, today we have a doubleheader. We're going to start off with one of the candidates for York County Council. Her name is Debbie Cloninger. And then in the second half of the program, Grace Lewis will join us to give us an update on what is happening down at Pathways. The Reinhardts have just arrived. That means everybody can come here. Make sure that the old guy buys your lunch today. Yep. Well, thank you very much. That's good. All right. Here we go. All right. So, Debbie, thanks for being with us today. You need to start off by telling everybody a little bit about Debbie Cloninger.
Okay. Thank you, Manning, for having me today. And basically, I've lived in South Carolina for almost 37 years.
Uh-huh.
The last 15 have been in Regent Park, okay, up in District 1. I have a grown son. I married a grown son, four beautiful grandchildren. I am a retired business owner, small business owner. I own several, and was actually in business for about 45 years. So true.
Good for you.
Okay, and we go to church at First Baptist in Fort Mill.
Okay. So why does a retired business owner decide they want to get into this thing called politics?
Okay. I am, when I moved to the area, I was very, very happy. I tell people I've seen the good, the bad, and we're really bordering on ugly right now. I care about our community, and I'm very concerned about the impact of the unbridled growth on our schools, our roads, traffic, and infrastructure. And another thing that is really surprising to me, you know, this is my first time running for office.
All
right. Okay. So running a campaign, as you said, is very different from owning a business.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So one thing that surprised me was that one of my opponents told people that I was against the school impact fee.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very disconcerting to me because I strongly support the school impact fee in Fort Mill. And, you know, it's kind of crazy.
Don't hurt yourself now.
I don't know anyone who would be against the school impact fee.
Well, in fact, I remember so clearly when the county council held a public hearing over at the McKelvey Center in York.
Yes.
Which holds about 500 people. There
right.
were probably 600 people there, all from Fort Mill.
Yes.
And they just paraded up there one after another after another after another in support of it.
Exactly.
And, of course, it passed.
Yes.
It's now in litigation. Actually, the school district won the litigation.
Right.
Then it's being appealed.
Right.
And all the concern about it killing growth in Fort Mill, that never occurred.
Right.
In fact, there's like $20 or $25 million in that account right now.
That's
just
true.
Waiting to be used for building expenses. So
exactly.
All right. So when you talk about unbridled growth,
yes, sir.
How? I mean, what ideas do you bring to the table in terms of how you control this?
Okay. Well, I'm kind of stubborn. Maybe you've gathered that in our conversations, and I just feel like that there needs to be someone who is willing to say no to these big developers and ask for more concessions, more green space, better architectural standards, and let's work on our roads. That is where I hear the most concern is on our roads.
Well, roads has been an issue ever since I've been here, which is about as long as you've been here.
Exactly.
We have pennies for progress.
Right.
We have the counties, using the C fund money that each of the
so true.
Council elected officials get to parlay out. It's not a whole lot of money, but it's something.
Right.
What else can you do in the way of roads?
Okay, well, let's go back for a minute on Pennies for Progress. That there's something that I really don't think people understand about that is that there is a pennies where you can go in and actually the people need to know that there's a meeting that they can go to for the commission, the Pennies Commission. That's part of really one of my priorities is communication with my constituents and let them know about this meeting so that their voices will be heard on roads that they are concerned about in their community. And they can voice. They can actually voice their concerns and make sure where their roads are on the list.
Of course, those meetings are held prior to the referendum, where they go out to all the different,
Pennies,
the Pennies Committee goes to every one of the council districts,
right,
holds these meetings, gathers all the data, take that data, put together a plan, present it to the county council.
Right, exactly.
And the county council has to accept it in toto or reject it.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So once that plan has been voted on, then it goes to the voters, and if the voters approve it, that's it.
Exactly.
Until the next referendum,
and
whenever
that will
be, which will be probably another four or five years.
Yes, four or five years, right.
But, so communication.
But they can voice their opinions, yes.
Well, and as we've talked about before, you have these public hearings.
Yes.
You tell everybody about the public hearings. You encourage them to participate in the public hearings.
Right.
And then they say, nope, not interested, don't show up.
Oh, no. You know what I'm going to do?
Yeah. You're gonna tie them up and pull them out?
No, I'm gonna get a bus. I've told them this. I'm gonna get a bus. I'm gonna drive up to their house and I'm gonna blow the horn, and they better come out.
Well, now if you have some sandwiches on there, I might come with you. That'd be fun.
Hey, we're in the best place to get
one. Right there.
Yes,
substation two.
Exactly.
That's right. Get a party tray and get on the bus and with Debbie and go to the road meeting. All right. So you talked about communication.
Yes, sir.
Tell me how you communicate with a general public that for the most part is just so distracted with everything else they just don't pay a whole lot of attention.
Right. And the virus.
The virus.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
Okay. So communication, like I say, is my number one priority. I am very strong on social media. I am walking the neighborhoods and trying to communicate there. We have been involved with Zoom meetings through various organizations. That has been a great tool. I will continue, once I'm elected, to continue Michael Johnson's initiatives with breakfast meetings. And I love the fact that he does newsletters. I hear that all the time. Those will continue.
All right. So you talked about roads.
Yes, sir.
You talked about growth.
Yes, sir.
And you've talked about communication.
Right.
Is there anything else on your list as to what you'd like to work on or achieve if you are elected?
There's always things on my list.
Okay.
Okay. So now we're going to talk about quality of life.
Ah, all right.
Okay. I know that people moved to District 1, to that area, number one for schools.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
The number one school in the state. So now they come in, they're not really told that the schools are overcrowded. So we need to work on, as I said before, demanding more from developers and really having someone that's willing to say no, and issues that we're having like with rezoning, so that we can, I don't want to stop growth, I am pro-growth. I wouldn't have been in retail if I wasn't pro-growth. How would I grow my business?
Right.
But residential growth, there needs to be a balance. So let's demand more like green spaces. That's very important. And also, just giving the people better quality, like architectural standards in what the builders are building, that has fallen through, and planning. I think we need to have more planning and balance in our growth. And all of that's going to relate to quality of life.
Probably easier said than done.
Oh, yes.
I mean, because you're going to have to establish architectural standards.
Right.
And I don't know what that process is. I know they have them in Rock Hill.
They do. Yes.
And there's a lot of developers that don't like it. But the bottom line is it's a better finished product.
Exactly.
I know there was a real crackdown here years ago against what they call vinyl boxes. In other words, lots of houses that were made out of total vinyl. And
right.
We weren't seeing any brick and that kind of thing. So brick or stone,
and we
whatever.
Have them in the district.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And when you talk, have you had time to talk to those within the county that work on this day in and day out to find out why it is that way and why it isn't the way you're thinking?
Okay, I've met with the Planning Commission.
Okay.
I've also met with Economic Development.
Okay.
And just seeing, like, what their vision is for the county. You know, are they willing to step up? Because we have, let's get back to planning. There's not a standard on, let's say, the height of building.
Right.
And that needs to be addressed because there are townhomes going into really nice areas
right.
that are going to be built in people's backyard, literally homes, their
right.
backyard.
Yeah.
And it's like having a skyscraper looking out your door. You were looking at beautiful trees. Now you're going to be looking at a skyscraper.
If you had been on the York County Council,
yes,
when
sir.
This whole discussion was going on about this major new development being
yes.
brought on by the Carolina Panthers.
Yes.
You're talking about big buildings. That's what
right.
popped in my mind.
okay.
Do you have any thought? Would you have been supportive of it the way you understand the deal? Or would you have been, because the council was split. It was a 4-3 vote.
Exactly.
It did pass.
Oh, yes.
Would you have been for or against it?
One thing that I was very concerned about was the interchange.
Right.
I didn't want that to be taxpayer money to be used for that interchange. And when that was worked out where the Panthers are now responsible for
State of South Carolina is responsible.
Well,
for it.
The State of South Carolina. Now I'm very pro.
Okay.
Yes. I would have voted yes.
All right. We've got probably about 90 seconds left for you to either tell me something that we have missed or for you to get out there and talk to the voters in District Number 1 as to why they should vote for Debbie Cloninger. And by the way, it's Debbie with one B,
all
D-E-B-I, right?
Thank you, Manning.
Right. Yeah. It's D-E-B-I, all right. I didn't want them to think it was misspelling when they went in the voting booth.
Exactly.
All right.
Okay, I just want people to know if they vote for me that I am willing to listen to the people and I truly will be their voice. At the county level, I put the people first. And I would be honored to have their vote on June 9th. My Facebook page is Debbie with one B, Cloninger for County Council. My web is DebbieCloninger2020.com.
There you go. Debbie Cloninger 2020.
.com.
All right,
yes,
we got
sir.
That down. All right.
Yes.
Well, Debbie, good for you. And as I tell
thank
every
you.
One of the candidates, thank you for throwing your hat into the race.
Yes.
And be willing to be scrutinized.
Yes.
To make the investment of time and money into this, because that's how the process works. And regardless of how it turns out, thank you for doing it.
Thank you, Manning, for
all
having
right.
me.
Debbie Cloninger is her name, and she's one of the candidates. She's one of, I think, three candidates.
Yes, sir.
That are on the ballot for the June 9th primary, and that's a winner-take-all primary. Is that right? Is there any Democratic opposition in this?
In November,
In November.
Sir.
Okay. So this will determine who the Republican candidate is, and her name, again, Debbie Cloninger. All right. That's going to wrap up this portion of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax. You're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Caporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us today, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, as is highspeedweb.net that streams our signal 24/7, 365. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week, prepared right before your eyes here at Substation 2. The magical way we do it is right there on the white letters, and we're all going to say it together. 1, 2, 3. Let's go on, Grace. Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, garden, garden. Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
I like the lunch special pricing.
I like the bread, good prices, and location.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, Emergency Room Director at Piedmont Medical Center. When someone is experiencing a life-threatening emergency, such as a stroke or a heart attack, every second counts. Piedmont Medical Center's emergency departments in Rock Hill and on Gold Hill Road in Fort Mill are open 24/7 to treat life's unexpected emergencies. Even in the middle of a pandemic, our commitment to providing safe, high-quality emergency medical care in our community remains strong. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044 or online at andersongriggs.com.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Are you a member of Founders Federal Credit Union and need to deposit a check? Try Mobile Deposit in the Founders app. It's quick, easy, and you'll have access to your money without having to leave your home. Relax. Try Mobile Deposit. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
These days, everybody wants peace of mind. Some people do yoga. Some meditate. Me? I use Ready Home Security from Comporium. Ready Home lets me monitor my house, even when I'm hundreds of miles away. With Ready Home, I can use my phone or tablet to set my alarm, turn on lights, lock the doors, even control my thermostat. Yoga's great, but knowing that everything's great at home, now that's peace of mind. That's Ready Home. To learn more about Ready Home, visit Comporium.com or call 888-403-2667.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Hit the spot, definitely.
Friends are great, and the company's great, and the food is fantastic. Bread's fresh, and they make my special for me every day.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. The one and the only, the old Central Director for Pathways, Ms. Grace Lewis, is with us today. You don't even look like it's been raining outside.
I ran fast.
You ran? She comes in the door, and she shows me her slacks, and they're soaked up to about 3 inches.
There was about 8 inches of water in the parking lot.
Oh, my gosh. Good for you. So, for those who have not heard about Pathways, which I can't imagine, how would you describe what Pathways is all about?
In just a few words, one-stop shop. For that client that needs multiple service to come in one door and have many agencies collaborating in one site to get services they need, I would say one-stop shop.
One-stop shop. And that's the whole goal, as I understand this, is to have what you call a single point of entry.
Correct.
Where somebody who's got an issue can come in one place, mm-hmm. and you all find out what the issues are and start sending them to the various agencies where they need help.
That's right. Pathways is a great collaboration of agencies that are currently on campus and agencies that are not. it started a couple years ago with volunteers that ultimately became the board of directors, with this great idea to collaborate for that client out there that can't ride all over town in their car, that needs to come one place to be triaged and have multiple needs met in one place. And the physical location of Pathways is conveniently located at 546 South Cherry, next to Grandview Cemetery and across from the Sheriff's Office. We're a 40,000 square foot facility. And we have room for more agencies. We are starting to reach out to the community and work with other partners to come co-locate with us and help us serve that client that comes through the single point of entry door.
So now you have, what, about a dozen or so?
We have nine on site right now. We have the potential to get up to 30 plus, depending on some agencies are in 2 days a week. So another agency could come on the other 2 days a week and kind of co-locate in that space.
And the building, the 40,000 square foot building, is an old school.
Correct.
That basically has been rehabbed step by step by step by step.
Yep, as folks have moved in, it was Old West End Elementary. Through the years, it's had some new additions put on it, but it has been a rehab and discovery process for every agency that we've moved in. To get the building safe, things had to be brought up to code, electrical code, plumbing code. But we've moved along. We've had great community support, church support, and individual support to get these things rehabbed so folks have a great place to be.
Yeah, there's been a tremendous amount of community support. In fact, I don't know what the numbers are, but you all have raised since day one, what, close to $1.75 million, $2 million?
$1.5 million-ish.
Ish, okay.
Yeah.
And we've had some wonderful people who have stepped forward in small amounts, big amounts, doing all kinds of things to make it happen. One of the newer organizations that is within the Pathways footprint now is something that I don't think most people even knew existed. I know I didn't.
Yeah.
Called Manor House, which really is a incredible ministry done by Mount Prospect Baptist Church that basically outgrew the church, and they needed more room to handle more people.
And they came to Pathways. Yeah. Sandra Evans runs the Manor House Pantry, and she wondered if she would be successful over at Pathways, and boy, she has. They came on April 4th. That was their first Saturday, and they started doing a drive-through. Well, they have kept doing a drive-through because it's working out. Of course, with the virus, the drive-through has been helpful. But the Manor House gives people groceries, not just a little bag of something, but they get groceries, meat, produce, all the non-perishables. But Manor House, I think, was the little best-kept secret over there at Mount Prospect. But we love having them on the campus and the food that they give out. And ever since they opened, they started out with 110 families on April 4th, and they're well over to 150 families every Saturday now. And also our day center people, the Manor House does walk-up bags for them because they're homeless, so they can't put meat in a refrigerator, but they can give them non-perishables. So Sandra has been great to work with us for those walk-up folks from the day center so they can get food too. And, you know, we have a lot of women living in cars, so they can pull up and get walk-up type food to have so they have food during the week.
You know, it's a dose of reality.
It's a dose of reality.
For anybody who just thinks, you know, Rock Hill and York County is just nothing but beautiful buildings like Winthrop University and the shopping malls and there's just poor people everywhere. And we got them here.
We've got low wealth. I always tell people we have the homeless and the about to be homeless. There's many, many, many people on the verge of homelessness. And we count people living out of their cars. You know, they're homeless. Good many of them, and they're just kind of under the radar, looking and trying to get by every day. They come in our office, and Kelly, our great case manager, triages them to try to, number one, make sure they've got food and getting medical help, and then, of course, a place to stay. The emergency sheltering is our big, big concern.
Hmm. And maybe one day there'll be a shelter on the campus of Pathways, but that's down the line.
Oh, yes, we'd love that.
So with this COVID-19 that we're all going through, and the impact that's had on the nation's economy, with some 40 million people now out of work in just a matter of weeks. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. Has that impacted what you're doing at Pathways? I mean, are you seeing more people saying, I need help?
We did, when COVID first hit back in March, we did see more people. We saw an influx of people, some from New York coming through, stopping on their way to Columbia or Florida or wherever they were going. But then our regular population kept coming. We noticed in the electric bill, because during the month of April, we were open 7 days a week. But the homeless, remember, they don't have a place to self-isolate. So we stayed open to give them a place to come, a place where we could triage them, keep them healthy, make sure that they had everything, and they had a place to be. I mean, they, and the good news is, through this whole thing, nobody on the campus has been sick, none of our homeless, the staff. So I'm real proud of the team on the campus, CCA, the Manor House, the Haven, all of us that work to keep people safe and triaged, clean and sanitized, as I say. They did a really good job.
And, of course, one of your biggest tenants, could be your biggest tenant, is the Haven.
The Haven Men's Shelter. They currently have 18 clients staying there.
18 clients, and they have room to expand that considerably.
Yes, they currently can go up to 25 with room to expand to 40.
And they are absolutely, they're just wonderful in what they do. It's a men's basic shelter.
It is a men's shelter. It's a six-month program to bring a homeless man in to counsel him, work with him, get him employment, help him save money, so that when the end of the 6 months comes along, he can go out and sustain himself and get a place to live. They also have a new executive director, Kyla Miner, along with Kendall Johnson. They do a great job over there at the Haven.
So, like most nonprofits, I'm sure Pathways is always in need of financial support.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the things that Pathways is doing day in and day out. And so how can people find out more about Pathways?
You can always visit our website, pathwaysyc.org. Our phone number's on there. My name is Grace. You can call me anytime. We take in-kind donations. Our wish list is on there. And, of course, monetary donations help keep that single point of entry door open.
Yeah, because I can imagine keeping a 40,000-square-foot building operating 6 or 7 days a week, well, basically 7 days a week.
And the repairs that go with us. As I was running through the 8 inches of water, I'm looking up at the gutters going, those gutters need to have water's flowing everywhere.
I know something. Well, it's quite something. And, of course, one of the things that it was amazing how it all came together. As Pathways was being envisioned and then all of a sudden became reality, the city of Rock Hill was putting MyRideRockHill.com online, so that there was a free public transportation system in the city.
Yes, we have the bus stop right at front, and it does get utilized. We also have the MyRide van that brings folks with disabilities or folks that need to go to doctor appointments. They come right to the day center.
So if somebody knows somebody who needs some help and they don't know what to do, they should get a hold of Pathways. Is that
they
right?
They should call Pathways. Our number's 366-7284, and call us up. We know everybody. We make the connections. We collaborate with all the agencies in the community, either on the campus or not, and we're a good place to start.
Yeah, I should say you're a good place to start.
Yes.
And you all have done a wonderful job down there. Pathways, of course, is located about 3 or 4 blocks past Substation 2 here on Cherry Road. You can't miss it. As you say, it's right next to Grandview Memorial Park.
Got
right there.
Big sign out front now.
Big sign out front. That's a nice sign. Glad to see that get up.
Yeah.
That's good. Grace, thank you for all that you and Pathways do. And again, the website one more time.
PathwaysYC.org.
PathwaysYC.org. Hope you can help them out, because they're helping out an awful lot of people. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. As far as Substation 2, we know how they do it. 7 days a week, fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes. How do they do it, everybody? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
All right, have a wonderful weekend. I hope it dries out. We'll see you on the radio Monday. Bye.